The last couple of days, we've been talking about many different issues related to the concept of Tfilas Kelim. First, we began by discussing the basic chiyuv, the chiyuv of Tfilas Kelim. If a person acquires vessels, utensils, kelim from a non-Jew, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that he has to be tovel them. So for klei matches, for metal kelim, there's a machlokas rishonim whether that's a din d'oraisa or only a din d'rabbanan. And for glass, we said that the haskamas haposkim is that it's only a din d'rabbanan. Then we addressed what other materials might be obligated in tefilas kelim. What other metals? Is aluminum obligated in tefilas kelim, even though it's not mentioned in the Torah? It's not one of the six metals. What's the status of plastic? Then we discussed the question of glazed or coated kelim, a kli that's coated, a kli that intrinsically is made out of cheres, is made out of a substance that shouldn't require tefillah, but it's coated in metal, coated in something that should be chayav in tefillah, or in the reverse direction, if you have a kli that's metal, a metal spoon, but it's coated in teflon, or some other substance that's potter from tefillah, we discussed the halach of those kelim. Then finally, we talked about the question of disposable kelim. Should we assume that the fact that the kli is chad pa'ami, it's a one-time use kli, it's really the disposable kli, should that tell me that it doesn't have a shame kli? Doesn't have a shame kli for Kabbalah's Tumah? Maybe it doesn't have a shame kli b'chlal? It's not a chash of a kli b'chlal, so maybe it should be potter in tevila. Or should we say no, if it has the potential to last l'zman meruba, maybe it should be chayiv in tevila? These are some of the issues that we addressed. The final shaila that I want to raise with you and discuss together with you, that was in the second group of Makaros, is the question of kelim that are electric. Right? You have a kli that's made out of metal, but it's an electrical kli. Let's say a hot water urn, a Keurig, a George Foreman grill, a sandwich maker. There are many different electrical kelim that we use that a metal chelik of the kli touches the food or the liquid, the water, the boiling water. So the question is, these electrical kelim, at first glance, they should be no different than any other kli. If you assume that a metal kli is chayv in tefillah, so mistama, electrical kelim that are made out of metal should be chayv in tefillah as well. But the problem is that if we say that these electrical kelim ataka obligated in tefillah, so then what is a person to do? You're going to damage the kli if you immerse it in water. Presumably you'll damage the kli. So what's a person to do? You can't be tovel the kli because you'll ruin the kli. But at the same time, how can you use the kli if it's made out of metal and the metal touches the food? Then it should be viewed as klei se'uda. Klei se'uda means, the simple definition is that it's used in the serving of the food or in the preparing of the food. So these kleilim are certainly used in the preparing of the food. A Keurig, you make coffee with the Keurig, a sandwich maker, right? You're preparing the food with this kli. So what's a person to do? How can you be tovel this electrical kli? But how can you not be tovel if it's made out of metal? You shouldn't be able to use it if you're not tovel it. So this is a major shaila that the post can discuss. The Sefer Tevilas Kelim, the beautiful Sefer that we keep on quoting, that has copious footnotes describing all of the different shailas that the post can raise. So he talks about this shaila as well. He has this in Perek Yud Aleph Ha'ara Mem Vav to Mem Zayim. So he starts by quoting the Chelkas Yaakov. It sounds like the Chelkas Yaakov has major statements about Tfilas Kelim. He seems to come up left and right over here. We had the Chelkas Yaakov talking about disposable Kelim. So he continues his discussion, similar ideas relating to these electrical Kelim as well. The Chelkas Yaakov wants to suggest that maybe electrical Kelim shouldn't be chayav in Tfilah b'chlal. He solves us from the whole problem. He gets us out of the problem before it even begins. Why not? What's the reason electrical Kelim should be potter? So he says, well, I developed the yesod when I was discussing disposable kelim. I developed the yesod that tevilas kelim is connected to kabbalas tumah. The shame kli for the chiv of tevilas kelim when you acquire a kli from non-Jew should be dependent on the shame kli for kabbalas tumah. Now we had, that was a discussion, that was the machlokas, the Mordechai and the Bali Tosfis about Dover Hamamid. And then we pointed out that the Yad Ephraim quotes the Shev Yaakov that seems to connect the two. Parenthetically, we mentioned yesterday that if you look at the Yad Ephraim inside, it sounds like he's quoting the Shavus Yaakov, not the Shev Yaakov. So I actually looked into this yesterday, and apparently it's a mistake. The Lashon of the Yad Ephraim, he says Shavus Yaakov, but it's not a Shavus Yaakov. It's not Rav Yaakov Reischer, the Shavus Yaakov. It's actually Rav Yaakov Katz, the Shev Yaakov. If you look in the Pischei Tshuva, He quotes it from the Shev Yaakov. Then I took a look in the Friedman Shulchan Aruch, and he makes this correction that the Yad Ephraim, even though he writes Shin Veiz Vav Yud, which looks like Shvuz Yaakov, it's not correct. It's a mistake. It should be the Shev Yaakov. It's the Shev Yaakov, and I looked up the Tshuva inside. It's the Shev Yaakov and Simon Lamed Aleph. So he makes this connection between Tvilas Kalim, the Kalim that you acquire from a non-Jew, and the same Kli for Kabbalas Tumah. Right, the case that the Shev Yaakov is talking about is if you're mechaber a kli into the tanur, you connect it to the tanur, so if it's mechubal lakaka, it's not mechabal tuma. So if it's not mechabal tuma, it shouldn't require a tevila. And that's his yesod. He assumes that the shame kli for tevilas kalim is the same shame kli for kabbalas tuma. So comes the Chelkas Yaakov and says that if that's a good svara to tell us that disposable kalim are potter from tevila, that should be a good svara as well to explain that electrical kalim should be potter from tevila as well. What does one have to do with the other? Dr. Chelkas Yaakov, how's an electrical kli used? You plug it into the socket. So if you plug it into the socket, you're being mechaberit lakarka. So since the electrical kli is mechubal lakarka, it can't be mechabal tumah. Since its normal use is when it's mechubal lakarka, by attaching it, by plugging it into the socket, Dr. Chelkas Yaakov, a chiddush, that's called mechubal lakarka. That kli will never be mekabel tumah, and if it's not mekabel tumah, it's not chayav in tefilas kelim. Ad kan dvarav. Wow, that's a chiddush, right? That's a chiddush of the Chelkas Yaakov. He says he thinks electrical kelim are treated like kelim that are mechubal karka, and if they're not mekabel tumah, then they shouldn't be chayav in tefilas kelim, because according to the Shev Yaakov, a shame kli for tefilas kelim is a function of the shame kli for kabbalas tumah as well. So many of the other poskim are very distressed with this Chelkas Yaakov. Dayan Weiss, in his Minchas Yitzchak, he feels that, why should you connect Kabbalas Tumah to Tfilas Kalim Bechlal? Right? He disagrees with the whole Tliya, with the whole Shev Yaakov. That's what the Shev Yaakov holds. But we don't paskin like him, he says. Look at the Balei Tosfos. Tosfos on Daf Ayin Hei Amud Beis says that we don't follow Dover HaMamid for Tfilas Kalim. And he says that's the normative halacha. We don't connect Shem Kli for Tvilas Kalim with Shem Kli for Kabbalas Tumah. So it is the opinion of a Shev Yaakov, but Zog Dayan Weiss, who says we paskin like that? I don't think we paskin like that. Aye, but we're makel for disposable Kalim? He says, no, disposable Kalim, we're makel because they don't have a Shem Kli Bechlal. It's not just that they don't have a Shem Kli for Kabbalas Tumah. They don't have a Shem Kli because they're not called a Kli Choshev, but that has nothing to do with Kabbalas Tumah. You could bring a raya from Kabbalah's Tumah, but it's not because it doesn't have a Shem Kli for Kabbalah's Tumah, that's why we connect to Tfilas Kalim. It's if it doesn't have a Shem Kli Bechlal, so then it's not Chayv in Tfilas Kalim. But here, these electrical Kalim certainly have a Shem Kli. They're strong. They're not disposable. You can't say it doesn't have a Shem Kli. The only thing you can say is, oh, we're gonna call it Mechubal Lakarka. It's because Mechubal Lakarka, it's not a Shem Kli for Kabbalah's Tumah, it should be a Shem Kli for Tfilas Kalim as well. Who says that you should make such a Tliya? Who says you should make that kind of equation? That's what Dayan Weiss wants to suggest, to disagree with the Chelkas Yaakov. And then the Tfilas Kalim quotes Rav Shmuel Vosner in the Shevet HaLevi, who disagrees for another reason. He says, even if you'll say the Tliya is a good Tliya, the equation, the connection is a good connection, that the Shem Kli for Tfilas Kalim should be a function of the Shem Kli for Kabbalah's Tumah. But how can you say electrical Kalim are not Mekabel Tumah? But because you plug them into the socket, that's called Mechubal Lakarka? Come on. Come on, he says. He uses a very strong Lashon. He says, this is Hevel Ureus Ruach. Whoa. You have to have shoulders to make such a statement. But the Shevet HaLevi feels that this is a very big Chiddush of a Svara. He's not willing to be Mekabel it. He says, just to say that you plug it in, you can plug it in and take it out, that's called Mechubal Lakarka. He says, the poskim have a whole D, and what happens if you have a kli that's Toloshu Lebasov Chibro? The case of the Shev Yaakov, you have a kli that's separate, that's detached from the ground, and then you attach it to the ground. You attach it to the tanner, attach it to something that's Mechubal Lakarka. And it's not going to move from there, it's going to stay there. So there's a discussion in the poskim whether even that is called Mechubal Lakarka, because it was Tolosh Metchila. It was not attached to the ground initially. So the poskim have a discussion whether Tolo Shel Basov Chibro is called Mechubal Lakarka. So Zokter Shev HaLevi, you're going to tell me electrical kelim that you plug into a socket, that's Mechubal Lakarka? It goes in, it comes out. It's not even Mechubar Mamish. So how can you say that that's called Mechubal Lakarka? He's very troubled with the Chelkas Yaakov. So what's one to do if we're going to be machmer against the Chelkes Yaakov to assume electrical kelim ataka chayv and tefillah, we're going to be up a creek without a paddle. How can we use the kelim? How can we immerse them in the mikveh? We're going to damage the kelim. So the Sefer Tefillas Kelim quotes a number of different options. He quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wants to suggest that maybe you should find a Jewish handyman, give the electrical key to the Jewish handyman, and have him take it apart. Have him take it apart in such a way that it can't be used, and a head yod can't put it back together again. You would need a Maisa Uma to put it back together. So once he takes it apart, it's ois kli. It's not considered a kli anymore. Zokter Shlomo Zalman, if you get the handyman to take it apart, and then the handyman reconnects the wires and makes it into a kli, that's like Gomro Bidei Yisrael. That's like a Yisrael made the kli. So even if this urn or this sandwich maker is made by a non-Jewish company and it should be chayiv and tefillah, because the Jewish handyman put it back together again, it's like he made the kli. So if he made the kli, then it's part of him tefillah. Right? A simple way of solving the problem by taking away the shem kli, so to speak. Right? That's this idea. That perhaps he should be mevatel the shem kli, and then have the Jewish handyman create the shem kli again. That's gomer biad Yisrael, and that will be part of him tefillas kelim. Many rabbonim for a number of years suggested a different option with these electrical kelim. And that is, they said that I know it. There's a sticker on the kli that says "Do not immerse." It says, but they only write that because they don't want you to ruin the kli. They don't want you to damage something. But you should know that you can be tovel the kli. You can dip it into the mikveh. And don't use the kli for a week or two. Let it dry out. You know, keep on shifting it so that whatever residual water can drain properly. And these poskim said that, really, I'm telling you, you can immerse the kli. It's not going to do anything to the kli. As long as you let it dry out completely, everything will be fine. And there are many people who are tovel their hot water urns, the different electrical kelim that they have, and really nothing happened. You know, the truth is, I did this for a number of years. I would, when we bought the first few water urns that we owned, we didn't buy them from a store that sold hot water urns made by Jewish companies. You see, now the issue is not as great with the hot water urn, because there are many Jewish companies that make hot water urns. So if it's made by a Jewish company, so then it doesn't require tefillah bechlal. But the first couple of urns that we bought, they were made by some general non-Jewish company, a company that's owned by non-Jews. So we actually took it to the mikveh, and we were tovel the urn. We opened it up, made sure that it was full of water, and we left it to dry. And the urn lasted several years. There was really no problem. But then something happened. One of the urns that we bought, after a while, somehow it melted. It melted. And we were so taken aback. It was after a little bit of time, it melted. So we spoke to one of these electricians, someone who knows electrical work a little bit. And he said, "Well, I'll tell you why. Did you immerse the urn?" We said, "Yeah, but we let it dry." He said, "You should know it does degrade the wires a little bit. Even if you let it dry, the fact that you expose the wires to water will degrade the wires a little bit. And this could happen. It doesn't necessarily have to happen. It doesn't have to melt the urn." But if you degrade the wires, then it's not gonna be good for it. So at that point, I it's hard for me to recommend such a course of action when I see that it could create a danger. I don't want to recommend such a psak if it's going to create a danger. Others have pointed out that many of the electrical cam that we have are not only electrical, but there's some electronic keypad to it. If you have an electronic keypad, that you cannot immerse in water; that would be destroyed by water. So it's not shaykh to be tovel such kelim. So what's a person to do? I heard once Rabbi Schechter wanted to suggest that maybe there's the yesod in tefillas kelim. And that is that the only time that there's a chiyuv to be tovel, a kli, is if you can be tovel the kli. Right? The mitzvah only applies if it's possible. But if it's not possible to use the kli, maybe the whole chiyuv never begins. That's what Rabbi Schechter wanted to suggest. We'll see that other poskim use that in other contexts. But it's a chiddush. Not all poskim are willing to be makel for such a svara. But that's what he wanted to suggest. That in this case, since you can't be tovel the electrical kelim, so there's no chiyuv tefillah bechlal. It's not shayach. It's a kli that's not shayach to be tovel. So if it's not shayach to be tovel, then it's okay. If you're not going to rely on such a svara, there are other poskim that disagree. So what is one to do? So the idea that I've suggested to Talmidim, that others have mentioned, Rabbi Sobolovsky mentioned this to me many, many years ago, and others have suggested a similar idea, and that is that the Shulchan Aruch at the end of Hilchas Tfilas Kelim in Yerdein Simen Kuv Chav Sif Teh Zayin talks about the case. Let's say a person before Shabbos wants to use a certain kli and he forgot to be tov of the kli, and he can't run to the mikveh. It's too close to Shabbos. It's not shaykh. So what should he do? What should he do at that point in time? So the Shulchan Aruch suggests maybe he should give the kli b'matana to a non-Jew, and then borrow it from the non-Jew. Because if he doesn't acquire it, he's only borrowing it, that's not chamachayv him in tevila. And if the non-Jew owns the kli, and he's only borrowing the kli from the non-Jew, so then there's no chayv tevila on such a kli. That's what the Shulchan Aruch wants to suggest. Hey, take a look at the screen share for a second. The Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Simen Kuf Chaf, in Sif Teh Zayin. Here. Shulchan Aruch says the solution is give it to a guy. Give it to a guy matana. A guy who obviously is going to give it back to you at some point in time, right? I mean, something's going to happen there. You're going to give it to him matana and then borrow it. Okay, you're going to give it to the guy matana. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch wants to suggest. It's only b'shas adchak, right? The Shulchan Aruch is only makel for this b'shas adchak. It is a harama, right? It's a trick, right? It is a harama. You really own that. I mean, you're going to be using the kli. Is it really the guy's kli? You make it the guy's kli, right? You give it to matana, but you're going to be using the kli. The Shulchan Aruch is matir b'shas adchak. But this is a shas adchak. Electrical kelim is a shas adchak, because if you don't give it to the guy, you won't be able to use it b'chlal. So that's what someone wants to suggest. Give it to the guy. Or maybe it might be even better not to give it to him b'matana, but rather to give him a shutfus in the kli. To give him a partial ownership for the in the kli, so that he won't take it away. Now, if you give it to him b'matana, if you say it's yours, so he might say, okay, if it's mine, I want to take it. Give him a shutfus in the kli. And then it'll be potter from tevila, because it's not completely owned by a Jew. The only problem is, the Taz there in Sivkot and Yurches writes that it's only appropriate to be makel for the Shulchan Aruch lefisha. Nearly the high tikuna ain't well lefisha. The high no la also Shabbos or bechol kozman she ain't lo mikveh. Avlacha Shabbos or she's damel lo mikveh. Kevin she yistaka olam is biyad Yisrael. Vada yhavi kilakuach biyado. The Jew is going to be using it. It's just the guy technically owns it. So claims the Taz, this only applies lefisha. It's a kula, it's a harama temporarily, but to use this la'olam vayad, to use this kula la'olam vayad, mehecha teisi, that you should be able to do such a thing. So the problem is, with the electrical kalim, you're going to be relying on this svara la'olam vayad. Right? If you're going to give the guy a shutfis in the kli, you give it to him maton, and then you're really going to use it, the whole thing is a harama. So how can we rely on such a svara la'olam vayad? Maybe the answer is, look, the Chelkas Yaakov holds me'ikarad, and there's no chiv of tefillah. Rabbi Schechter holds that because you can't be tovel, even if there is a chiyuv tefillah, because you can't be tovel, for that reason, there really is no mitzvah. There should have been a chiyuv tefillah, Rabbi Schechter holds. Right? Against the Chelkas Yaakov. But even though there should have been a chiyuv, but because you can't do it, you can't immerse the kli, so there is no chiyuv. So there are two poskim who hold there's no chiyuv here b'chalal. So if there are poskim who seem to be saying already that there's no chiyuv, so maybe, you can rely on this Shulchan Aruch, even not just l'shah. Maybe you could give the guy a shutvis in the kli, and you'll be able to use it, la'olam voy, you'll be able to use that kli, la'olam voy, to put a sniff lahakel, to put these different shittas together, putting the Chelkas Yaakov and Rabbi Schechter together with this idea of the Shulchan Aruch, perhaps this is the best solution to the problem. Give the guy a shutvis in the kli, then you won't have to be matpil the kli, and you'll be able to use it, and you won't have to worry that it's going to get damaged. Aaron.
Now, like in these times, a lot of the local mikvahs are closed. Would we be able to rely on the Shulchan Aruch for every type of kelim?
I think so, because now that the mikvahs are closed, so then this is lefisha. It's not quite what the Taz says for that Shabbos, or until you can find a mikvah. I mean, I guess you could say it's literally what the Taz says. It's until you can find the mikveh. So if you can't use the mikveh, it's like you can't find the mikveh. But a person who is not being tovel kalim, regular kalim now, and relying on the Shulchan Aruch, l'chora, that's totally within the realm of the Taz. Because you can't go to the mikveh, it's pasha de sakona. So if you can't find the mikveh, so then it makes sense that you should be able to rely on this kula. I see Morty Schlossel's hand is raised.
Yeah, in regards to the wire, unless you're being told on earth, you also have to be told on the wire, because that is more susceptible to becoming damaged than the actual urn itself.
Rav Moshe has a comment in the tshuva where he assumes that the only part of the kli that you really have to be tovel is the kli, is the part that touches food. So I don't think you have to be tovel the wire. You just have to be tovel the part of the kli that's going to touch the food. It's almost like the kli. I know the wire is attached to the kli, but it's not a chelik of the kli. It's not really a chelik of the kli. I'm not sure that you have to be tovel the wire.
How would you do that? Because aren't you supposed to let go of the whole kli for like a second or whatever?
Yeah, but you could leave the wire outside the water. You could hold on to the wire outside the water. You got to let go of the kli. The kli that touches the food. The wire is like a separate chelik. I don't think Rav Moshe would say that you have to be tovel the wire. I think it's probably necessary only to be tovel the kli itself. Jacob.
Is the law, does it apply only if a non-Jew created the product as opposed to, let's say, you just purchased it from a Jew? Meaning, let's say you're purchasing from a Jew, but a non-Jew created the product, it's still chayav and tefillah?
If you purchase, you're saying if the Jew bought the kli from a non-Jewish company.
Yeah, I mean, you don't. We're assuming the company is non-Jewish, but even if you buy it from a Jewish store.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the Jewish store. That's a very good shaila. That the shaila that you're raising is called kli schora. If I buy a kli from a non-Jewish company, but I don't intend to use that kli, is it Nischayev and Tfila in my Rishus or only Nischayev and Tfila in the next person's Rishus? That's a very important shot. We're going to get to it next week in Mitzvah Shem. We're talking about a situation where there's no shopkeeper. It's that you bought this non-Jew. Let's say you bought the urn. It's made by a non-Jewish company. You bought it from a non-Jewish store, let's say, okay? And you really should be, that kli should be Chayev and Tfila. So now if you give a goy a shutvis in that kli, so then that non-Jewish person will own part of the kli. So then you'll be potter. I know what you're probably thinking is, well, why do I have to buy it from the store? I could say in my mind, you know, I don't really want to acquire it. I'm going to pay him money, but I'm not really acquiring it. It's still his. So I think that's a joke. Right? If you're paying money for the kli, you're giving money to the store owner, then you're buying the kli and it becomes yours. But if you give a non-Jewish, let's say a non-Jewish cleaning lady or a non-Jewish contractor or something, someone that you have a relationship with who can understand what you're talking about, you know, that's part of the problem is if you do it in Spanish, so it's a little bit complicated. But if you find a non-Jewish person that you have a relationship with who will understand what you're saying, you say that it's a religious obligation. I need you to own part of this. You know, could you give me a dollar to acquire it? Something like that. Right, so then they can acquire a part of the kli. So then they actually will get ownership of the kli, partial ownership of the kli. So that will exempt the kli from tefillah.
But I don't know how common this is. I don't know if I've ever seen it, but maybe it's more common in Israel. Like you buy something that's from clearly a Jewish brand, like created from a Jew, then that wouldn't be chayav tefillah. Let's say you buy a crock pot from a Jewish company.
Right, it's not chayav in tefillah. If you buy a becher that was made in Eretz Yisrael. It's potter from tefillah. You buy a hot water and it was made by a Jewish company. It's potter from tefillah because it was never owned by a non-Jew. That's different. I'm talking about you're buying a Keurig, let's say. As far as I know, a Keurig is not made by a Jewish company, right? There's only one type. It's not like there are multiple types. So it's made by a non-Jewish company. So then it's chayiv and tefillah if you buy it. You're buying it from, I don't know, the Keurig company. Or you buy it from... You buy it from, I don't know, Macy's. You buy it from a department store that's not owned by Jews. So that's chayav and tefillah. That's the case that we're talking about over here. So you have to create Jewish ownership over here in order to exempt the kli. Okay, let's move on to the next sugya. And that's the sugya of klei suda. Okay, so for that we have to open up the Gemara again. We've mentioned this point many, many times. And now we have to actually see the sugya. And develop it in greater detail. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Afayin Hamad Beis mentions that not only is one obligated to be tovel kalim that they acquire from a non-Jew, used kalim they acquire from a non-Jew, but even new kalim, even new kalim. The hayishanim v'libnam kechadoshim damo v'afilu achibah utfilu. Yishanim v'libnam, if you machshir old kalim, they're like new kalim, they still require tefillah. So by the same token, if you acquire new kalim from a non-Jew, you'll be chayiv in tefillah. So maskev la Rav Sheshes is sakasha. If all kalim that you acquire from a non-Jew require tefillah, yihachi afilu zuza desarbal anami. Even if you acquire some kind of scissors, shearing scissors, Rashi says misperayim shagozim behem bigdei tzemer. Hoel ugzeres hakosuv uvelo mishum pilut iser. De chadoshim velo bali midi matzrachas la tefillah. Says Rashi, Rav Sheshes is kasha, is once you tell me that even chadoshim, even kelim chadoshim require tefillah, so you see it's not because of pilut ha-isser, it's not because the tefillah is going to take out the isser. It doesn't take out the isser at all. There's a new idea that you have to be tovel the kelim. And we'll have to discuss, what's the tam adover? Is there a tam behind this mitzvah? Is it stam exeris ha-kosovah? Maybe there's a tam. We'll see that in mitzvah shem. But frekta gemara, If Tfilas Kalim is Exeris HaKosis, then it should apply to all Kalim. No? Even to Zuzu de Sarbala. Omalei, so the Gemara answered, Rav Nachman answered, Rav Sheshes, Klei Suda Amurim Beparsha. Klei Suda Amurim Beparsha, that the only Kalim mentioned in Parshas Matos that require Tfilas Kalim, they're Klei Suda. What does that mean, Klei Suda? What does Rashi say? Rashi says the lead up to Vitoher is Koldavar Sheyava Baish Tavir Baish Vitoher, that anything that's over Baish, anything that's used in fire, that's what requires Tevilah. So says Rashi, what kli is Baba Eish? That's only Klei Suda. It's only kalim that it's tzarchei suda. Ubahanu ksiv v'toher tevila avol zuzu desar b'lalo. Rashi seems to be saying, how do I know that klei suda amurim b'parsha, that only klei suda achayv in tevila? That's because the pasuk says kol davar sheyava ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'toher, and only klei suda above ba'esh. Only things that we use for food in a suda, those above ba'esh. The Prichadosh is very troubled with this Rashi. He says, come on, is that really true? But the only kalim that are above be'esh are klei suda. There are many kalim that we use be'esh. It's not just klei suda. What's if the reason why klei suda amurim beparsha is because it says kol davar sheyava be'esh, only kalim that are above be'esh, only klei suda are above be'esh? That's not true. There are many other kalim that we use that are also above be'esh. So those should be chayiv and tefila as well, not just klei suda, according to Rashi's logic. So the Prichodosh says, I think that the more correct approach is the Rashba in Torah Sabayis. Let's take a look at this Lashon of the Prichodosh. This is in packet 3. Okay, the Prichodosh, in the larger Prichodosh, not on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Prichodosh in Simen Kuv Chav, Sivkat Nalif. He says, he quotes Rashi, he says, Ve'eno nochon do'ika harbe kelim shemishtamshim bohem al yidei ha'or, ve'eno mitzar chesuda. Ve'yoser nira mashakosav ha'rashba b'tar sabayis, de'shamin ala medechziv kol asher yovo ba'esh, de'zeu dovar, sheba ba'esh v'tzarech lahachshiro ba'esh, hevi omer zekle suda shebolea al yidei ha'esh, v'tzarech lahaflet bilo al yidei ha'esh. What does the Rashba say? He says, it's not that the only kalim that are used in the fire are klei suda. No, of course there are other kalim that are used in the fire that are not klei suda. What the pasuk is saying is the only kalim that are used in the fire that have a bliya, that you have to be machshir in the fire. The Torah is talking about hechshir of libun. Kol davar sheyava ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'tahir. So Zok the Rashba, the only kalim that require hechshir ba'esh are kalim that have a bliya ba'esh. What kind of kalim get a bliya? Klei suda. Kalim that you're using with food, so right, if you're grilling, if you're barbecue, if you're roasting on the kli, that's going to have a bliya. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Kleisuda Amurim Beparsha Kodava Shiyava Baish Tavir Baish V'Toher is saying that something that a kli that requires Hechsher Baish requires Tevila, and the only kli that requires Hechsher Baish is Kleisuda. Okay, these are the two approaches: Rashi and the Rashba. The Pri Chodesh prefers the Rashba, but this is the Gemara that Kleisuda Amurim Beparsha tells me that Dafka Kalim that we use with food. Those are the kelim that are going to be chayiv and tefilas kelim. What does it mean, klei suda? Let's define klei suda a little bit better. Now, what does klei suda mean? So, of course, klei suda includes kelim that we use b'shas achila, at the time of eating, like cups and silverware, right? And if you had a plate made out of metal, that also would be chayiv and tefilah. If you have glazed china, we said that's potter. Karel might be potter as well, you know. You have to figure out whether the plate that you're using or the bowl that you're using is chayav and tefila. But silverware made out of metal, yes, that's chayav and tefila. And cups made out of glass, those would be chayav and tefila as well. From the Rishonim, it's clear that not only are kelim that we use during the meal considered klei suda, but even kelim that we use in the preparation of the meal, like pots and pans that are used to cook the food, that's also called klei suda. Hachana lesuda is also tzarche suda, that's also called klei suda. But the poskim have various shilas related to this definition of klei suda. What exactly is defined as klei suda? Maybe something can be used in the preparation of the suda, but anything used in the preparation of the suda is called klei suda, or maybe we should limit it. Maybe there's a specific limiting definition for what's used in the preparation of food that should be called klei suda. So the poskim talk about several issues in this context. Several issues. Let's mention two of them. Okay, several issues in this discussion of what's called klei suda. First of all, let's say you use the kli in the preparation of the meal, preparation of the food, but the food is still mechusa tikkun. It's not edible after this kli has finished its job. Right? Sometimes when you prepare a meal. So you cook meat in the pot, you cook macaroni in the pot, and it's completely edible after that process. But there are some times that you're going to use a kli on a dvar meichel, that after you use the kli, the dvar meichel is not going to be roi lachil. It needs further steps in the preparation process. So what's the status of that kli? Does that kli require tevila? So this is a shaila that's mentioned actually in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch and Yerideya, in Simen Kuv Chav, Siv Hei, Shulchan Aruch talks about Sakin Shel Shchita. Sakin Shel Shchita. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Not all the way back to the beginning, but to Siv Hei. Sakin Shel Shchita. A sakin that we use to shech the animal. Yesh Mishomer Shino Tzarech Tefila. Shulchan Aruch says, there's a Yeshomerim that it doesn't require tefila. Comes the Ramon, says, V'yesh Cholkim. Others argue. V'tov l'tov lo blow bracha. It's good to be tov without a bracha. What's the machlokas? The machlokas is pashat. That those who are machmer, who assume that sakin shel shchita requires tevila, they say, well, it's used in the preparation of the meat. That's the first step. You have to shech before you can cook the meat. So because it's used in the preparation of the meat, it's chayv and tevila. And the other says, no, it's still mechusa tikkun. It's still mechusa tikkun. After shechting the meat, you have to, if the shechting the animal, you have to salt the meat and you have to cook the meat. So because it's mechusa tikkun, it's still not edible, therefore it's not chayv and tefila. Says the Ramav, v'tov l'tov l'blo bracha. To be choshesh for the shidas that maybe it's chayv and tefila, you should be tov without a bracha. And then the Ramav adds, habarzalim, the metal rod, shemisnaknim behem matzos, that we fix up the matzos with, he's referring to those rods that have like bumps on them that make the holes in the matzos. They roll. After they've rolled the dough, then they roll this bumpy rod on the matzah, and that makes the holes, which actually makes the matzah not blow up when you put it into the oven. So it's part of the process of preparation of the matzah. So says the Ramah, HaBarzal, Shemisakna Behem HaMatzahs, Einam Tzrichem Tefila. They don't require tefila. They don't require tefila. Why should they not require tefila? So presumably, because the matzah is not Roy Lachila after you use these barzalim. Right? That's presumably what the Ramah is saying. But the strange thing is that the Ramah doesn't quote a Yesh Cholkin by the Barzalim. When it comes to second shashchita, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes one opinion, the Rama quotes the other opinion, and then the Rama says tovla tovla blo brocha to be machmir. When it comes to the Barzalim, the Rama just says that that they're potter from tefillah. It's interesting that he doesn't say the same thing about the Barzalim like he says with the second shashchita. He doesn't say you should be tovla without a brocha. So the Taz and the Shach both explain that the machlokas over here is whether you have to be tovel a kli that's used in the preparation of food if the food is still mechusa tikkun, if it's not roi la'achila. If it's not roi la'achila after you've used this kli in the preparation of the food. Aye, what's pshat in the Rama with the Barzalim? So here the Taz and the Shach disagree. They give two different approaches to the Rama. The Taz says that really the Rama would hold by the Barzalim you should be tovel without a bracha. The Rama has the yisod that these kalim that you use in the preparation of the food, even if the food is not roi l'achila afterwards, one should be machmir to be tovel without a bracha. To be machmir for both shittas. That's the Rama's opinion according to the Taz. That this is included within klei suda because it's used in the preparation of the food. Comes the Shach and says, not quite. A little bit different. The Shach says that he thinks the Rama holds that the only time that you have to be tovel, the kli without a bracha, if it's used in the preparation of the food, even though the food is not roi l'achila after you've used the kli, that's only if this kli can be used for a maichel that is roi l'achila. Again, this is a kli that can be used both for a maichel that's roi l'achila and for a maichel that's not roi l'achila yet. You're using it for the food item that's not roi l'achila yet. But because it can be used for something that will be roi l'achila immediately after you finish using this kli, that's why the Rama says that you're tovel without a bracha. A sakin shel shchita, what you're using it for, is not making the basar roi l'achila. But could you use the sakin shel shchita on something that is roi l'achila? Of course. You could use the sakin shel shchita to cut your chicken. Now, you might not want to do that because the sakin shel shchita is expensive. You know, they sharpen it very, very, very carefully. But is it usable? Of course it's usable for something else. It's totally, it's a knife. A knife is a knife. So because it's roi to be used for something that's roi l'achila, says the Shach, that's why the Rama says that you're tovel without a bracha. But the Barzalim, what can you use the Barzalim for? The bumpy Barzalim, what, you're going to hit someone over the head? That's not a Dover Michael. Right? You can't use the Barzalim for anything else except for these matzahs. And the matzahs are not roi l'achila after you've used the Barzalim. So Zok the Shach, the Rama would say that in such a case, you're potter. It's potter from tefillah and ganse. There's no need to be tovel. The Rama only said that if you're using something and the item is going to be mechusa tikkun afterwards, you are mechuyah to be tovel without a bracha if it's roi to use this kli for something that's going to be roi l'achila. If the kli is roi to be used for a dvar meichel that's roi l'achila, so then the Rama says you should be machmir. But if the thing is not going to be roi l'achila, it's not roi to be used for something that's roi l'achila b'chlal, so then the Shach says the Rama would claim that that doesn't require a tefillah b'chlal. What's the nafkimi? It sounds like a lumdish machlokas, the Shach and the Taz. Right? The Taz says the Rama holds any time that you use a kli to help in the preparation of a food, even if the food is not roi l'achila after using that kli, if it's part of the process, it's chayiv and tefillah according to Rambam. Without a bracha, but it's chayiv and tefillah. And comes the Shach and says, no, it's only chayiv and tefillah if it's roi to be used for a maichel that's taka roi l'achila right now. Rabbi Kiva Eger in Siv Zayin says, I'll give you a nafkamina. He mamish says a nafkamina between the Taz and the Shach. You know what the nafkamina is? A coffee grinder. That's the Lushan. Let's see Reb Kiva Eger's Lashon. Right, if you look over here in Shulchan Aruch, Reb Kiva Eger is found in Siv Zayin. The Rama in Siv Zayin says, Rechayim shel pilpul in Shebesocha Eitz, you have a pepper grinder. Right? Inside wood. Right? Shebesocha Eitz, yesh barzel kavua shetochen botzar tefillah. You have a pepper grinder, there's metal inside, that's chayiv and tefillah. That's chayiv and tefillah. Comes Reb Kiva Eger there, and he says like this, V'chein rechayim shel pilplin, v'rechayim shel kafa, a coffee grinder, lehataz tovlin below bracha, came into hakafa by a bishel. According to the Taz, you tovel without a bracha. Because that's what the Rama holds. Right? Even though it's not roi l'achila, even though the coffee is not roi l'achila, it still requires bishel. It doesn't matter. According to the Taz, the Rama holds that you're tovel without a bracha. But lahashach, Zok Reb Kiva Eger, according to the Shach, According to the Shach, jumping down a little bit, he comes back in a few pages here. According to the Shach, Yeshlomai de Ein Sarach Tvila de Lo Havi de Lo Chazi le Davar Acher. Zoktiv Kiveg, according to the Shach, you should not have to be Tovel the coffee grinder at all, because it's not roi for anything else. It's only roi for something that is not going to be roi lachila. Right? So if it's not going to be roi lachila, then so therefore it's not chayv in tefila b'chal, according to the Shach. If it can only be used for something that's not going to be roi lachila, then it's not going to be chayv in tefila. The Rama was talking about rechayim shel pilpulin. The pilpulin are roi lachila right now. Right, you can put them into your food. You eat them. I mean, you don't eat them raw, but you eat them. You don't have to cook them anymore. It's finished. But rechayim shel kafa, according to the Shach, since it's not roi for anything, for any dvar meichel that will be roi lachila right after its use, so then according to the Shach, the Rama would say it's not chayv and tefila bechlal. That would be an afkamina between the Taz and the Shach. So there are a couple of interesting cases that the poskim discuss, that both the Taz and the Shach would agree. The case Rabbi Akiva Eger gives is where the Taz and the Shach will disagree. But I can give you a few cases where you're using a kli on something that's not roi lachila, but both the Taz and the Shach would say that you chayiv in tefila, without a bracha, but you chayiv in tefila. Why? Because according to the Taz, the Rama always holds that if you use a kli in the preparation of food, even if it's not roi lachila, you're tovah without a bracha. And even the Shach would say that you're tovah without a bracha if the kli is roi to be used for something that can be roi lachila. I'll give you an example. Chicken scissors. Are chicken scissors chayiv in tefila? What are chicken scissors made out of? So normally they're plastic, but they have a metal blade. They have a metal blade. And people use chicken scissors for different things. Sometimes people will cut their... Most people use chicken scissors to cut raw chicken. They take the uncooked chicken out of the packaging. And let's say the chicken is cut into quarters, so they'll cut the chicken into eighths. They'll cut it into smaller pieces. Now, that chicken is not roi lachila. It's not roi lachila. But according to the Taz, it doesn't matter. It's part of the process of preparing the chicken. You have to cut it into pieces in order to prepare it for its final destination, right? For eating at the table. So the Taz would say, Avad, according to Ramah, you should be tovah without a bracha. What would the Shach say over here? So here the Shach would agree to the Taz, because the Shach would say, look, even if you only use the chicken scissors to cut the chicken before it's roi lachila, it still has to be roasted or cooked or baked. But the reality is, you could use your chicken scissors to cut the chicken even after it's been cooked. I know many people who do that. You know, if someone, they want a smaller piece of chicken, and if there's a bone there, there's a joint, it's hard to cut it with a knife, they'll take a chicken scissors, and they'll cut the chicken even after it's cooked. And the chicken is certainly roi lachil at that point in time. So even the Shach would agree by chicken scissors that you should be tovah without a bracha. Now keep in mind, the Shach would say, if you only use the chicken scissors before the chicken is cooked, you should be tovah without a bracha, because it's roi to be used for the chicken after it's taka edible. If you were to use the chicken scissors on chicken that's already cooked, even one time, everyone would say that you have to be tovah with a bracha. Everyone would say that you have to be told with a bracha. It's no different than the rechayim shel pilpulin. You're using it on food that's roi lachila, so avada, it would require tefila. We're talking about that you never use it on chicken that's cooked. You're only going to use it on raw chicken. But because it's roi to be used on cooked chicken, therefore everyone would say that you're tovel without a bracha. But if you were to use it on cooked chicken, avada, it's chayiv and tefila with a bracha. Similarly, a peeler or blades of a food processor. Let's say you use a peeler for potatoes, right? That's the vegetable that you peel, right? Or the blades of a food processor. Use your food processor for potatoes. Let's say you're very into potato kugel. You know, that's what you make in the food processor. So you're only using the food processor for potatoes. So the potatoes are not roi lachila after you use the food processor, or after you peel them, you still have to cook them. So if you only use them for potatoes, then what's the din? So according to the Taz, well, you're tovah without a bracha because it's still part of the process. And how about according to the Shach? So the Shach would say, well, it's roi to use the peeler and the blades of the food processor to cut carrots also, to cut cucumbers also, and the carrots and the cucumbers are roi lachila after you've cut them. So even if you, per se, never use it for carrots and cucumbers, you don't like carrots and cucumbers, so you're never going to use the peeler for that. You only use it for potatoes. The Shach would say that you chayev to be tovel without a bracha. You chayev to be tovel without a bracha. If you were to use the food processor and the peeler for carrots and potatoes, so then everyone would say you chayev to be tovel with a bracha. It's like a knife that you're using for something that's going to be roi lachila. So avada, in such a case, you'd be chayev to be tovel that with a bracha as well. Okay, this is one example of a discussion the poskim have relating to what's called klei suda. If it's mechusar tikkun, something that's mechusar tikkun, is that also called klei suda? You're using the kli and the item is still mechusar tikkun. So we find that the poskim are machmer that you should be tovel without a brocha in many, many different circumstances. Machlokas the taz and the shach, whether that applies only if the item is roi, if the kli is roi to be used on something that's roi lachila, or even if it's not roi to be used on something that's roi lachila. Another issue that the Boskim talk about is, let's say you have a kli that really doesn't serve any function in either the preparing of the food or the serving of the food. Till now we've talked about kalim that you use in the serving of the food, or kalim that we use in the preparation of the food. Let's say it really has nothing to do, it doesn't really serve a function in the preparing of the food, nor in the serving of the food. So what are you doing with it? Rebbe Akiva Eiger has a very interesting discussion. He quotes the Machlokas HaPoskim, what's the din? Klei otzer, storage vessels, chavios shel yayin. He talks about chavios shel yayin, if you have barrels of wine, barrels that you use for wine, what are the barrels made out of? So he talks about all different permutations. If the barrels are made out of metal, or if the barrels are made out of earthenware that's coated in metal, all the different shilas that we discussed. Right? But there's going to be some kind of a chiv over here, right? There's going to be some metal involved. So okay, the kli is made out of metal, but what's the purpose of the kli? Is it really used? Is the kli really serving the food? Right? Is it being used as part of serving the food? Or is it being used as part of the preparation of food? Not really. Is it really being used? Is it not being used? What's the din of storage vessels? Rabbi Akiva Eiger has the Machlokas HaPoskim about that. So he assumes that... Let's see what he says inside. Let's see the Reb Akiva Eiger inside. Akiva Eiger is at the very beginning of the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Chof. Says, V'yesh lakar hani chavios didon shel cheres gidolos hamatzupos ba'avar shemesim bahem yayin be'eze mikvah yadfil. How can you? They can't fit into the mikvah. So what are you going to do? So he says, "Umatzasi b'tshuvas k'sav yad lehachocham arena Reb Yisrael ze'evi deink takana ki im al yidei harama lesitam laovek ochavim b'matana ulashilam imenu." Rabbi Akiva Eiger quotes someone who had the same trick that we had. That the only thing he can think of is maybe give them b'matana to the guy and borrow them. Then he says, "Kasav lehachocham mari silida mari milida." Zal, the low near the ain't sarach tefillah, they don't require tefillah at all. The dafka klei suda by tefillah. Ve'elu achavios, ain't on rakadeh lahachnas b'mayayin l'kiyum. So there's no need for tefillah. That's what he wants to say. V'hiskim imo rabo, and his Rebbe agreed. His Rebbe agreed. It's a machlokas aposkim. It's a machlokas aposkim. Yeah. So how do we paskin? So the Sefer Tvilas Kalim on page Kuf Tzadi Zayin quotes of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, who wants to suggest that maybe we should distinguish between different klei otzer. Maybe klei otzer, maybe storage kalim that you bring, that you don't bring to the table, like a flour container, a metal flour container, a glass flour container. Shlomo Zalman wants to say maybe a flour container that you don't bring to the table, that you should only be tovel without a bracha. He says, similarly, a candy dish. Candy dish, he says, you know, you're not bringing it to the table. Interesting. Rabbi Shachter, I think, held that a candy dish is chayiv in tefillah. He probably felt like, okay, you're not bringing it to the table, but you're eating the candy from the dish, so that's like bringing it to the table. Okay, this is a detailed machlokas. But, be that as it may, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach's svara is that a a storage kli that you're not going to bring to the table, right? The best example is the flour container. The candy dish is a shayla. Is that called bringing it to the table or not? He says, a flour container that you're not going to bring to the table, that you're tovah without a bracha. But clay otsar, storage kelim that you do bring to the table, like a wine decanter, or a salt shaker, a metal or a glass salt shaker, so that, Reb Shlomo Zalman says, that should require a tevila. He thinks that should require a tevila. It is a clay otsar. You're not really using the kli in the preparation of the food, but maybe if you bring it to the table, maybe we should look at it as though you're using it in the serving of the food. So because you're using it in the serving of the food, maybe you should be chayiv in tefillah.
Wait, why would the flour pot at all be required tefillah?
Because it's holding the flour, and the flour is going to be part of a meichel. It's going to be part of the bread. So it's part of the bread. Why is that not called holding a meichel?
Oh, I'm sorry. Flour as in like...
Oh, F-L-O-U-R.
Oh, I thought you were trying to talk about a vase.
Okay. No. Container for flour. Flour that's used in the creation of bread.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. Okay, so based on this, Kiva Eger, Rav Moshe wants to suggest that maybe a toaster should not require tefillah. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, in Chelek, Beis Simen Chav Dalet. I think this is back in packet 2, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. Yes! Which chelik is this? I believe this is chelik Beis Simen Chav Dalet. So he wants to say that maybe a toaster should not require tefillah. Why? So he says, I am Bechidushei Rebbe Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger brings a machlokes whether chaviyo shemachnisa ben yain l'kiyo main tzrichim tefila or tzrichim tefila. This is Dr. Moshe. Ve'elu achaviyos einan rakadei lahachnis ben ayayin l'kiyo. Harei chazinan sha'afshe ayayin tzrichim l'kli mikol mokom kevin she'inenu sover shuklei su'uda me'acha de'akli eno osa shinir ba'ayayin el'kiyo ba'alma lo nechshe b'shvil zeh klei su'uda. The Manda Amar who says clay otzer that the Chavios Yayin don't require tefillah, that's because they assume that since you're not doing anything with the Yayin, there's no shinui that's occurring in the Yayin, so that's not significant enough. And he adds, even the one who's Machmir who says that the Chavios Yayin require tefillah, that's because you can't have the wine without the kli. Kevin, the efshel hayayin lios below kli. You can't have the wine in your hands. You have to have it in a kli. If not, the wine can't exist. So nechshav gam hakiyum kemaisa tikon dafiu bishul v'chadome. Even according to the Manda Amar, who says that the chavi shayayin achayv and tefillah, it's because it's like they're doing a maisa tikon for the yayin. They're necessary for the yayin. So maybe that should be viewed as a maisa tikon. Zakter Moshe, but look at the toaster. What's the toaster doing? He says, "V'kevan shechazina shela'elu akelam shemeshtamshim ba'em besuda mamish ein tzarach letfila ele kishaosin afio ubishel v'chadome me'inyoni tikun b'ha'ochel ein shum tam lahachshiv mailas yibush apas al yidei toaster letikun." What's the toaster doing? Rav Moshe says the toaster is just drawing out the bread. Do we need the bread to be dried out? Do we need it to be toasted? It's not doing anything to the bread. So if it's not doing anything to the bread, everyone would say that it doesn't require tefillah because it's serving no function. It's even worse than the Chavi Yoshel Yayin. Some say the Chavi Yoshel Yayin requires tefillah because they're accomplishing something. You can't have the wine without the Chavi Yoshel Yayin. They can't exist. But can you have bread without toasting? Rav Moshe says, Avada, you can eat the bread without the toasting. So what's the toasting doing? It's not really doing anything. So it's not doing anything, it shouldn't require tefillah. That's his big chiddush. Wow. It's a big chiddush because I think most of us would say that a toaster really does accomplish something. You know, take a piece of bread that's a little stale, you put it into the toaster, it has a new life to it. Right? Toasting, I think a lot of people would say that toasting really does accomplish something. Rav Moshe wants to assume that toasting really doesn't accomplish anything. It's like the Chavi Yoshel Yayin. Right, it's like Chavi Yoshel Yayin. Is it really accomplishing anything? It's even worse than the Chavi Yoshel Yayin, because the Chavi Yoshel Yayin, you could say, is accomplishing something because you can't do anything. You can't have the wine without it being in a receptacle, as opposed to the toaster that really is not doing anything, he says. Rav Moshe says it's not really doing anything because you can live without the toasting. So Clearly, other poskim disagree, right? I mean, you can understand that many would say that a toaster does accomplish something. A person wants toasted bread. He doesn't want regular bread. The Tfilas Kalim quotes poskim that argue. Tfilas Kalim is in page Resh Ches Ha'orin Nun Beis. He quotes Rav Shmuel Vosner and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Both assume that a toaster is chayv in tefila. That lechora is the Pasha Pshat. Right? The Pasha Pshat is that it is chayv in tefila because it really is accomplishing something. And maybe even tefillah with a bracha, because the item is roi l'achila right after you use the toaster. So what is one to do? It's an electrical kli. So lechora, for the toaster, the best thing is to be machmir and to do what we suggested for the other electrical kelim, and that is to be makna to the guy, to give a shudvis to the guy. And if the guy has a shudvis in the kli, then it'll be potter from tefillah.